You're now with Greg Carrick on the Community Connection Show. And this is the Community Connection Show with Greg Carrick here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Yeah, 7 past 2, this is Yarra Valley FM, I'm Greg Carrick, you're not. And opposite me is Viv Cunningham-Smith from Eastern Volunteers, and lots of things to talk about today, but how are you going, Viv?
Yeah, pretty good, Greg. Just come off a holiday from Queenstown, New Zealand.
Oh, sweet.
It was superb.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the European founder of Queenstown was my husband's cousin.
Oh, okay.
4 times removed.
So they gave you the key to the city, did they? And
we were hoping so, but we never quite got there. But we had a great view of Lake Wakatipu and Cecil and Walter Peaks that were named after his second cousin. So we were just surrounded by this awesome, awesome place. Queenstown is phenomenal, but a bit of family history in there as well. So it was great.
Lovely. Yeah, when I go to Tasmania, I drive through Carrick and strut around like the mayor, but no one bothers with me.
Well, we had quite a few photos next to William Gilbert Reese's statue and, you know, hi, cousin, how are you? But, yeah, again, nobody bothered.
Still, yeah, everybody knows you out here, though. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing, yes.
Yep. Eastern Volunteers and lots of things happening, including I see these cars and vans getting around.
Oh, absolutely.
And you need drivers.
We do. We always need volunteer drivers. And particularly for our assisted shopping program.
Right.
People who are just getting a little bit fragile, just can't carry their shopping bags anymore. They just need a little bit of help. We have an assisted shopping program, and it's also you can accompany people to maybe a doctor's appointment. It's just a sort of a companion role as well, and it's a relatively new program for us, and we are absolutely desperately after people who can give us maybe up to 4 hours a week. They don't have to do it for, any more than 6 months if they don't want to. So it can be a short-term commitment from them. But it's taking people along shopping, carrying the bags, having a good old chat and a natter and a coffee and helping them unpack stuff when they get home and just doing the things that they can't do anymore comfortably for themselves. But still enabling older people to stay in their home, which is where they want to grow old. Live independently. And we know that that's a better option for older people and that helps them remain healthy and well in their homes. So we are looking currently for probably about another 20 volunteers we need. So if anyone is interested, we'd be happy to hear from them.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and as you say, if you can do anything to keep older people in their own place, it's healthier for them, it's better for them mentally, emotionally, and financially as well.
Absolutely.
The longer they can maintain their own lifestyle, the better.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is those little things that matter. So a lot of these people are already, have been travelling with us for many years, and we've seen them declining in their, usually in their mobility, which is when they need that little bit of extra assistance, and maybe they're cognitively not as sharp as they used to be. So it's a really enriching role for people. You get to have a really good chat. You get to talk about really interesting lives that people have lived and are living. And I know some of our drivers are now working in this program as well, and they just love it. Because when you drive for us, you may do 10 trips a day and you're chattering and nattering to a whole lot of different people. Yep. But just being able to spend that little bit of extra time with someone who really appreciates it is really important. And, you know, they all come back smiling and telling us how much they love it as well. So it's not only good for older people, but it's actually good for the volunteer themselves.
You know? Yeah.
And it promotes their health. You know, we know volunteering's related to feelings of happiness, and feeling happy keeps you well.
Mm. Yeah, so if someone's interested in being a volunteer driver, especially with the assisted shopping and stuff like that, is there a phone number or email?
Yeah, they can phone us on 9870 7822 and ask. Oh, I think they press 2 for transport, and they'll get through to one of my fabulous team who'll be able to talk to them about the program.
Mm. Excellent stuff. Yeah, and it's 2:15, and got Viv Cunningham-Smith from Eastern Volunteers in the studio. Just been talking about assisted shopping drivers who help mainly elderly people get out there and do their shopping every week, things that they might have a few struggles with, and great volunteer position, and you can volunteer just the once a week for however long you can.
Yeah, and look, it's really flexible, so... we know people increasingly want to volunteer for sort of time-limited projects.
Yep.
We're doing a lot of work with Seek Volunteering at the moment around the mismatch between how people want to volunteer and what the opportunities are. And so we keep our volunteer opportunities really flexible so that people who've got, you know, only small amounts of time every week and don't want to commit for 12 months, you know, can still come to us and work in... The volunteering opportunities we've got, because we have to change the way we're delivering our services to meet how people want to volunteer these days. So you don't have to commit a whole day every week for 12 months. You know, if you've got some time and you've got some regular time for a short period of time, we'd still love to hear from you.
Because volunteers are just ordinary people, and ordinary people's lives have changed so much now compared to even 20 years ago. The regular 9-to-5 jobs are disappearing. There's more casual work at all sorts of odd hours, and so you need to fit in with what spare hours they do have left.
Absolutely. And we do a lot of work, because part of our job is to help organisations and community groups who use volunteers and utilise volunteers to help them think about how they can structure their roles so that they do meet, you know, those changes in the way people want to volunteer. And, you know, we run workshops on for volunteer managers, and even if, you know, people are responsible for volunteers in the local footy club, they can still access our workshops to just try and get people to think differently about how they deliver their services through volunteers, because moving forward, the time-limited, project-based stuff is going to increase.
Yeah.
And the traditional volunteering is not going to survive. So we've got to think differently about how we deliver our services through volunteers. So we do a lot of work in that space. And in fact, I'm meeting the Parliamentary Secretary for Volunteers in Victoria tomorrow to talk his ear off about it as well.
All right, because, it's interesting that someone even has that position, because it's a recognition that volunteerism is still very, very strong in Australia. And there's a huge work base out there of people volunteering their time that simply aren't counted in any sort of employment statistics or anything like that. People are out there doing all this sort of unseen work. So if the government can recognise, well, the different levels of government can recognise that, then it helps, especially with people going for work placements and things like that.
Absolutely.
The recognition of the hours they put in doing different things for nothing.
Yeah, and we know... Well, that's why the Victorian government is currently developing a volunteer strategy.
Mm.
So we're in the phase where they're seeking people's input to the volunteering strategy. So there are two surveys, one for community members
mm-hmm.
and one for organisations like, you know, the this radio station, to have your say around what a volunteer strategy in Victoria should look like and what investment in volunteering should look like. And you can get access to those surveys by going online to Engage Victoria.
Yep.
If people aren't online, they can certainly call us and we can help them access the surveys. And they're open till the end of November, so I'd really encourage people to get on there and have your say. Because, and then there'll be a whole series of community consultations occurring through post-November, December, January. We run the Volunteering Communities of Practice for the Yarra Rangers, and the department will be coming out to speak to organisations who participate in the Community of Practice in November. So if there are organisations listening who utilise volunteers and want to have your say, that's another way of having a direct say about volunteering. And the Victorian government, in its last election strategy, committed a vast number of its strategies to promoting volunteering, strengthening volunteering in Victoria, because they are realising that volunteers deliver an enormous array of services. And volunteering doesn't just happen, you know. In delivering services through volunteers, you have to manage very differently. It's not like managing a paid workforce. You have to actively manage and actively design your services. So it doesn't, just because people are giving their time freely doesn't mean the whole shebang is free. It's not. You know, to deliver services through a volunteer workforce, you need investment, you need paid staff, you need money to be able to achieve that. And that's often the thing that's not well recognised, even with politicians. You know, I talk to a range of politicians who say, oh, but Viv, you know, Eastern Volunteers is run by volunteers, you're free. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, like that.
Yep.
Honestly, you need to recognise the just the level of work that is still required, even though it's a volunteer program. And volunteers need support. They need training. They need supervision, particularly if they're dealing with tricky issues, you know, like palliative care volunteers and that. All of that's got to be funded. And the Victorian government has recognised that. And it's also recognised, one of the things we've been talking to it about, and many people have been talking to them about, is that volunteering happens in silos in Victoria. And that's hugely problematic, because if I go along to an organisation and I don't fit that organisation, or it doesn't fit me, and I've just approached them directly to volunteer and they go, no, sorry, you know, not at this time, or no, sorry, go away, I'm going to go away and go, gee, I'm not going to do that again. That was a really bad experience. And we've lost that person to volunteering. And we call it the volunteer leakage. And that happens when you see volunteering and fund it in silos, like it's been happening in Victoria for quite some time. So this volunteer strategy enables the government to have a look at how you actually coordinate and bring a whole volunteer sector together. And that's all of us. That includes community radio, it includes animal welfare, environmental volunteering, as well as all the health, welfare, all of that. Emergency management. How are we actually investing in volunteers across this state in a coordinated way, and supporting them in a coordinated way is the other thing. So it's a really exciting time to grab hold of and let the government know your views on volunteering.
Yeah, and that might sound to some listeners as, oh, that's just too complicated and costs a lot of money. But the more organised and structured and looked after volunteers can be, the more money they save for the state governments and federal governments because they're delivering all these services.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to take a look at Eastern Volunteers. You know, we have probably 10 paid staff, all part-time. We have over 100 volunteers.
Yeah.
But those 10 paid staff are absolutely critical to ensuring that the 100 volunteers are delivering quality services to the community. Now, just on the sheer math of that, you know, you could fund 110 staff, or you could fund 10 staff and 100 volunteers. You know, it's the economic benefit is there. The contribution of volunteers to the Victorian economy is going to be close to 40, I think it was 40 billion in 2025. That's an enormous contribution that no government would be able to fund moving forward. And a lot of our community services are going to rely more and more on volunteers, and probably ageing volunteers as well. So the whole concept of volunteering and how we encourage that in community is also part of what we're trying to think about in the volunteering strategy, because people are, you know, we hear about the ageing population and young people are going to need to work more. Well, volunteering's pretty important role in there if we're going to expect the services we currently get as a community to be here in 10 years' time.
Yep.
Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley.
29 minutes to 3 on the Community Connection show. Viv Cunningham-Smith from Eastern Volunteers in the studio. And now we get to some actual volunteer positions that are out there and available.
Yes, we do, Greg. Here's one I absolutely adore with our colleagues at Vision Australia. They're always looking for volunteers for the puppy caring program.
Vision Australia have Vision a puppy caring...
They do, they do. So they want volunteers to care for a puppy in their home from about the age of 8 weeks until they're approximately 12 to 15 months of age.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a bit of a commitment there, but you have a beautiful puppy. Your job as the volunteer family is to, you know, teach the puppy basics under the guidance of a puppy development officer, you know, basic obedience, house manners, how they're, you know, eating and toileting on command, socialisation, you know, getting used to going out and shopping centres and cinemas. So doing all that preparation work for a guide dog, essentially, or a companion dog for someone who's vision impaired. The carers are visited regularly and supported by a puppy development officer, so you don't sort of need to make it up as you go. There is a program there. So people who can offer that and won't have separation anxiety at the end of 15 months like I would, you know, this is a really fabulous opportunity. You're helping to grow a really important resource for people who are vision impaired and really establishing those basics for these lovely puppies.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic, that one. The other, Melbourne Support Services. So Melbourne is a disability service in the Yarra Ranges. They do fabulous job. They're looking for people who can support people with a disability in their community gardens. So if you're a gardener and you like the outdoors, you can contact Melbourne. The work is... overseeing the plots within their garden, and again you can talk to them about whether that's a weekly commitment or a fortnightly commitment, but again a really important contribution to assisting people with disabilities to develop horticulture skills. So all those green thumbs, that would be a perfect job for them. And Melbourne would also like to hear from anybody who can be a volunteer swimming assistant for people and younger people with disabilities. They're looking specifically for support people for four female participants to get into and out of the pool safely and to provide, again, those social connections that you do. So, again, a really important and sort of loving role for a volunteer. Anchor is both our local homelessness service, but it's also a foster care program. Mm. And they're looking for foster carers for young people who, for whom it's not safe to live in their own home, and who can dedicate themselves to young people. So if people are interested in any of those, they can contact Eastern Volunteers and we'll assist you to connect up with those opportunities.
I've met some of the foster carer crew from Anchor, and they're great people to work with. So you're interested in that at all, it's a good mob to go and see.
Yeah, they are. And foster carers do a great job in this community. And, you know, there are a range of foster care opportunities. So you can do short-term care or you can do that longer-term foster caring. You know, a lot of the children and young people coming into foster care have experienced extraordinary trauma. And a stable foster care home, a loving home that's predictable for them, where they've got what we call in the industry a good primary attachment, but, you know, where it's just a really good, loving, caring, child-centered or youth-centered home, you see them flourish. You see them being able to let go of some of that trauma and work it through with the appropriate supports as well. So you can never underestimate the power that foster carers have on the lives of really, really traumatized children and young people. I think it's a great way to volunteer, and you get the support you need from the professional staff at Anchor in the program.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. You can work in a factory, you know, 40 hours a week and get paid for it, and the work is like, you're building plastic gadgets. But when you're volunteering with people, the work is so important, and the rewards there aren't your pay packet. The rewards are seeing development and growth in people. And sometimes healing in people. It's fantastic.
Oh, look, absolutely. You can't, you can't quantify those benefits. You know, and Victoria is a bit strange. I come from New South Wales where you pay foster carers. Whereas here it's more considered a volunteer program with some reimbursement. It's just a different way of thinking about it. But in either scenario, every foster carer I've worked with over probably 20 years, they don't go in it for the money. It's to actually contribute to children and to the future, and to really love children who have realistically had a really bad start in life because of the trauma that they've experienced for a whole range of different reasons. So they're a special breed, foster carers. And I've got one more, because we often forget that members of committees of management or boards of directors of community organisations are also volunteers. And without people putting their hand up to be on committees and to be on boards, a lot of community organisations just wouldn't exist. So Food Share, Outer East Food Share, is looking for a committee member to join their board. And it's six times a year, Mondays 6 till 7:30. So it's not, you know, it's not an overly onerous commitment. Working on a board, it can be really valuable experience for you, particularly if you're either semi-retired or you're a parent, stay-at-home parent who's looking to get back into the workforce, who comes with a range of different skills, and sometimes with some boards and some committees, you can also get down into the work of the organisation. Although we always say, if you're a board of directors of an incorporated association, deal with the governance at the board, yep. and then volunteer and have all a great experience working in the organisation as well. But do separate the two because they are different. And we do, in Eastern Volunteers, we do a lot of work supporting local boards yep. and committees of management. We run workshops on the introduction to being a new committee member or board member. We run two of those a year in the Yarra Ranges where local committees can send their new members yep. along and we'll induct them into their responsibilities. You know, we deal with all the generic responsibilities that a director has under the Incorporations Act. We also make it non-fearful
yep.
for many, because many people say, I'm not going on a committee, that's just too much for me. But in fact, once you unpack what it is, lots of people can contribute on boards and committees. We also run workshops on being a secretary of the committee mm-hmm. and how to write effective minutes and how to meet your role as the public officer. We are introducing workshops next year for chairs on how to be an effective chair. We also run workshops on understanding finances because we're really committed to ensuring that particularly small to medium community organisations can have really professional, substantive boards who know how to govern.
Yeah.
And there's a particular skill set there. Mm. You know, board members don't want to get in the way of the organisation doing what it's doing, but they need to ensure that there's a strategy, that risk's managed, and that people are, you know, the organisation is doing what it's set up to do. So
that is so important, because your volunteers might know what they're doing, the work might be absolutely fantastic in the community, but if the committee running it is a bit all at sea, it can all go down the plug hole.
Oh, very, very quickly, very quickly. So, you know, if people are interested, and Food Share is a great organisation, but we've got a whole lot of other community groups who are looking for board members. You don't have to have, you know, legal skills or, you know, be a
commerce degree,
risk manager or anything like that. Having a knowledge of your community is equally as important as having, you know, a range of those other more professional skills. So don't underestimate yourself. If you have something to contribute and you really are interested in the governance of the organisation and where it's heading, then think about, you know, sitting on a committee, volunteering on a committee.
Pippa Cunningham-Smith from Eastern Volunteers in the studio. I've been talking about a lot of different things about volunteering and volunteerism and the training of volunteers. But along with the training, you're going to be running a tender or a grant writing workshop.
Yeah, look, this is for community groups who and organisations who want to improve their grant writing skills and hear from some of the hints and tips in making the process less painful. So I've been a professional tender writer now for 30 years, so I run the workshops. We've got one coming up on the 21st of October that has some vacancies. So if anyone is interested in developing that skill set, it's a two-hour workshop. It will be run in Ringwood, but we've got plenty of car park where we are in Ringwood, which is always a positive. And people just phone us on 9870 7822, or they can go to try booking online and just type in tender writing workshop Eastern Volunteers, and the workshop will come up. It's only on the 21st of October, though. So that's a really good opportunity. It's a pretty packed workshop, so it'll take you through how you can effectively write small grants, like council grants, right through to how you actually think about constructing larger tenders and submissions for significant amount of money, and it'll take you through both how you do that for government grants as well as grants for philanthropic and corporate money as well.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage people, you know, we run those probably 2 to 3 times a year. So if you miss out this time, there will be one early in 2020. We're also running a workshop in October on how to design and recruit into your volunteer program. So it's everything you need to know about your volunteer program, and there are probably only about 2 or 3 spaces left in there. So again, if people are interested, they can get tickets from Tribal King.
Yeah, because small community groups who are able to get grants can do more of what they're interested in doing. But quite often people in these community groups go for a grant, and because they don't really know what they're doing, they miss out. And a lot of it is how it's written. You've got to meet certain requirements, tick all the boxes, or it'll simply won't be looked at. So go along to these workshops, find out how to do that, so you can gain access to a bit more finances for what you want to do.
And there's an art to how you can describe your service or your project, and in a way that meets the requirements of the grant. And so we go through that, because you'd be surprised the number of grants that don't tick the boxes, but even the ones that do tick the boxes still don't communicate the message around their project well enough for the people that are reading it to go, actually, that's the project we want to fund. So, we're committed to increasing those skills in community organisations. So, we'd love to hear from people who want to increase their grant writing skills.
Now, last time you were in, we were talking about Lilydale Lounge. And apparently there's a bit more news or a bit more advancement on that.
Yeah, look, the working group has been going fabulously well. So Lilydale Lounge is a hub or a day centre that we want to we want funding for in the Lilydale area. So a working group has been diligently working away on what it should look like, what the need is in the area. And it's a mixed need. So there's homeless children and families, and there's homeless families who are adults, there's homeless individuals, there's people who are long-term homeless, people who are only newly experienced homelessness. So the lounge is a service we're trying to get up to service all of those different needs. So we've determined what it should look like, how it, what those services should be, how we want to deliver them. And we're currently awaiting the report from a group of Monash University students next week, who'll deliver a report on what the international and national evidence is about how you do this really well in the community.
They've looked at overseas models.
Models. There's a number of models in New South Wales and Queensland where these hubs exist and have existed for a number of years. And these hubs are really important ways of connecting people into services and support, but also acknowledging that they're human beings and individuals who need somewhere to do those day-to-day things that we take for granted. And the hubs can be a really valuable source of support, but it also helps agencies access people who are homeless and get their services more effectively to them. So it serves a whole range of different needs. And so once we have the report, we'll finalise our model of service. We'll finalise what we want, and then we'll be ready to take it to institutions and government to fund. So that's a really important step for us. And we're hoping that, we're hoping there's someone there to fund. the initiative, and we'll keep working towards that. So I just wanted to update people that, you know, the Lilydale Lounge project is still there. It is still very actively supported by a whole range of Yarra Rangers organisations, and we're almost ready to say, okay, who wants to fund this really important service?
It would be a huge boon, especially out here in the Yarra Ranges where there's nothing else like that around. And as you said, you know, it, apart from linking people into services, there's things that will be available that we take for granted. You know, we go home, got a laundry and a washing machine.
That's right.
Bath and shower.
That's right.
So many things that when you're homeless, all of a sudden, they're gone.
Yeah,
And you need something else to replace it.
Yeah, well, we had a homeless man come into one of our volunteer resource centres last week, and he... you know, and people are homeless for a whole range of different reasons, you know, and I think people need to understand that people don't choose to be homeless. And also people don't necessarily always choose to, once they are homeless, to live in a flat. So some people do prefer to rough sleep because of a whole range of trauma and mental health issues. And they're often the ones that we see out in community and think that's the face of homelessness. It's not the only face of homelessness. There are families living in cars in the Yarra Ranges. There are people sleeping on couches of friends and going from home to home. There are people who are newly experiencing homelessness because they've lost their job. There may be family breakdown. There may be escaping family violence, and you know, people don't choose to stay in homelessness. So, and so much goes from the day to day, from your day to day ordinary routine, like being able to access clean toilet, having a shower, being able to wash your clothes, being able to cook. You know, you can't cook in a car. And so, yeah, the lounge is a really important initiative for the Yarra Rangers, and we are really keen to make sure it gets funded longer term. None of us are sort of going to give up on the idea anytime soon.
So hopefully people with the powers to back these things will be able to see the benefits, and even just the social benefits of this happening, and get it up and running.
Exactly, yes.
And thanks also to all those different groups who are volunteering their time to organise and do all the background work for the Lilydale Lounge, just to sort it out so that it can be looked at properly.
Yeah, and we've got two groups. We've got one who we call the backbone group, who are the ones who are meeting regularly. And then we've got a secondary group who are there and supporting the initiative and are there when we need them to, you know, do a little bit of extra work. So when you look at that, it's probably most of the organisations and community groups in the Yarra Ranges who deal either in homelessness or mental health, you know, recognising this as Mental Health Week. It's important to recognise and support people with mental health issues right across the community.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Viv, for coming in again.
And you're
welcome. Glad you had a great holiday. Now it's all back to work.
Absolutely. Oh, we're off to Uluru next week.
So ah, sweet. You love that climate, though.
I've put the holiday in two pieces, so yeah.
Thanks. Excellent. Greg.